following is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
What do you get when you combine 12 years in the NFL, three bowl I can't mention rings,
multiple Pro Bowl appearances,
and 15 years of broadcasting on ESPN? You get a podcast. That's what you get.
You're damn right.
This is The Stinkin' Truth, an in-depth look at the NFL,
sports,
and life.
Awesome!
Boom! Bang!
Now, here's your host, Mark Schlereth.
Hey, welcome into the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Your host, Mark Schlereth, along with my co-host, Mike Evans, Scott DeHuff on the board. Man, we got a great program planned for you today. We got Rivers talk. Could he be on the trading blocks? Urlacher, Keyshawn Johnson. Love what he's doing parenting-wise. Tom Brady's got a new book out, plus my favorite topic and my favorite thing that we do every week. It's question mark. But before we do that, let me go ahead and give you one of our great, great sponsors who brings this to you or brings this program to you free of charge. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company's been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can actually speak to one of their trained specialists 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that company is Geico. All you have to do is go to geico.com today. That's all you got to do. Geico.com. And you could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. That's geico.com. Go there today. Mike, man, how are you, my friend?
Man, I'm doing good. And, you know, you'd think as we kind of grind through the summer, the NFL is off, that there might not be a lot of things to talk about. But just when you think it gets kind of quiet, along comes Deion Sanders.
Mm.
Huh? Did you hear what he had to say about Philip Rivers?
I did. And normally, you know, I think of Deion Sanders as, yeah, you know, a little bit of hyperbole, a little bit of showmanship. You know, he's Deion, he's Neon Deion, he's all that kind of stuff. But I actually kind of was intrigued by what he said.
Give me Philip Rivers, send him to the Denver Broncos, and get ready to get your ring size, okay? Because that's what they need. I don't even know who's quarterbacking for the Denver Broncos. I don't even know if it's a battle to be had in training camp. All I do know is every time Philip Rivers gets close, the management team there allow those really good guys that he has to get out of town by some form of fashion. And I don't know how it keeps happening, but this guy takes a licking and keep on ticking, and he still brings results. But if he's ever going to win it and win it all, he's going to have to leave, baby. He's going to have to pull a Kevin Durant. He's going to have to pull a Chris Paul. He's going to have to be LeBron before LeBron was LeBron if he wants to win.
Wow, there's so many different angles to this because
Initially, Mike, you go, oh, come on, that's Deion just being.
Right, but if you kind of strip away the bluster, all the Deion-esque, you know, stuff
the
of
hardiness.
I don't know, and maybe it's because of everything that's been happening in the NBA, and you're seeing things in the NBA that you never thought you'd see with players joining forces, teams deciding, hey, we can't win right now, so we're going to just, you know, sell off whatever we got to build for the future. I don't know, could that kind of NBA groupthink start to filter into the NFL?
So let me ask you first and foremost, okay, so the assertion that if Philip Rivers were to trade locations, if he were to move to Denver, that Denver would automatically become a Super Bowl contender. Do you agree with that assertion?
Instantly become the second best team in the AFC. Jump over the Raiders. Because what? You'd have...
Jump over Pittsburgh?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, because you'd have a franchise quarterback backed up by one of the top defenses in the NFL, right? Something that Oakland doesn't have. Something that Pittsburgh doesn't have. Come on, Denver becomes number two right behind New England if you have Philip Rivers at quarterback.
I don't think there's any question. I mean, I think one thing we saw here in Denver, when Peyton Manning came to the Denver Broncos weren't on the lips of anybody when you're talking about franchises that had a chance to win a championship at that particular point in time. Nobody was talking about the Denver Broncos being an elite NFL team. I mean, come on, they were coming off the Tebow experiment. And instantly, he walked in here, and we saw it, Mike. The gravitas that he brought, the leadership, the call it believability, just instantly, you saw the franchise change. Instantly, it became something different. Instantly, the confidence, the aura of this franchise, not only nationally, yes, from all the pundits and everything else, but just inside the locker room, Mike. We're covering this team. We live here in Denver. It was a completely different swagger that team had because he came in there and instantly everybody believed, oh, shoot, now we got one, and now we got a chance. Because this defense wasn't this defense when he walked into this franchise. It wasn't. As a matter of fact, he walked into this franchise, and what happened? All of a sudden, Aqib Talib, you know, Darian Stewart, T.J. Ward, you know, guys wanted to, DeMarcus Ware, guys wanted to come sign here to play with a legend in Peyton Manning. I'm not going to say Phillip Rivers is exactly the same, but Phillip Rivers has got respect, almost reverence in this league for what he's been able to accomplish. He walks in here, and just in that locker room alone, you've got that kind of feel. I mean, this is a team, you and I cover it every day. This is a team that last year had Aqib Talib shouting people down in the locker room, pushing people in the back on the football field. There was a divide between offense and defense. He walks in here, there's enough respect now that divide is gone. You're not looking at them like, you know, like your little nephew, right? Oh, look at the offense. They're adorable. They're just adorable. Look how cute they are. Oh, they suck, but they're adorable. You know, that's gone, right?
So it makes sense from the Broncos standpoint. Of course it does. But why would the Chargers do it?
Well, I think there's a couple things you have to look at if you're the Chargers. They just signed Phillip Rivers to this extension. Right? They're moving to California. Carson, California. Right? And they're moving in this small little, I'm not even going to call it a stadium. It's a venue.
What's the difference between a stadium and a venue?
A venue, come on, a venue, like, it's like, do you want to go see a concert at a stadium? Like, you want to go see U2 at a stadium, or you want to go see them at a venue? A venue is more intimate, smaller, right? You feel like you and Bono become one. Hey, Bono, it's me, Mark. Good to see you again.
Good point. If I'm in a stadium, I'm in section 516.
Right.
I'm like, I can't see the edge.
You're like, Bono! Edge! It's me up here, Mike! No, nobody's going to see you. But the edge is going to, you know what he's going to give you? When you shout out in a venue to the edge, you know what he's going to give you? The dude head nod. He's going to acknowledge. He's going to give you the, dude, I see you seeing me. Right? Dude head nod.
By the way, where does the edge rank among great nicknames? Huh? That had to be given. You don't give that one to yourself, do you?
No. No, that's one. You are so good. Like Bono. You know what the Edge. I don't know what the Edge's name is. I know what Bono's name is. You know what Bono's name is?
I do not, no.
Bono is Paul Hewson.
Huh.
Paul Hewson. But he got his nickname Bono because there's this interesting instrument. And it's a Bono something or other. And he got his, because it makes this beautiful music, but it's this unique kind of crazy instrument. And because his voice was so pure, you know, they're all high school buddies. The whole band is high school buddies. I think he got it from a high school buddy that nicknamed him Bono off this instrument. And that's been it. The Edge. Man, he must
David
have just
Evans,
been,
by the way.
What?
That's his name.
Who?
The Edge.
What's his name?
David Evans.
David Evans. He's just the Edge.
He's just the Edge.
You know, he was probably just on this guitar, just like, and some dude is just like, oh my God, that's so edgy, man. Then bam,
boom,
the Edge.
So you want to see those guys in a venue? I get what you're saying.
Right.
Now, so you're playing in a venue.
You're playing in a venue.
You're playing NFL football in a venue,
right? Now, yeah, Phillip Rivers is, you know, he's a big draw. You're gonna sell the venue out anyhow. The venue's tiny, right? It's probably BYOB at the venue. During a TV timeout, you can walk out of the venue, go to your car, pick up another sixer, and walk back into the stadium before they even snap the ball. It's a venue. You're going to sell that out anyhow. It's in Carson. Nobody's got to see NFL football. Everybody's excited about it. You're there for 2 years. Of course they're coming, regardless of who your quarterback is. 2-3 years from now, when they move to L.A., is, you know, bolo tie wearing Woody looking, hell, there's there's a snake in my boot. Is he going to sell tickets in L.A.? Or is kind of that young, kind of edgy franchise quarterback possibly, is that going to sell more tickets? So if you're San Diego, could you talk yourself into a Denver? You give us your first rounder, Paxton Lynch, guy that may not start for you. We have him for a couple of years while we're playing in the venue, developing him. And all of a sudden, we roll out to L.A. and we got a pirate playing quarterback for us. Shiver me timbers.
It's not a bad idea because you think about L.A. L.A. is a town where it's all about the next big thing, right?
Right.
You know, the rags to riches story, the up-and-coming right. star. If you got Jared Goff, you got Lonzo Ball, you know?
Couldn't you see a promotional video with Paxton Lynch and Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow?
At Disneyland.
Right, and they're both in, like, pirate outfits. And you're talking about coming down to the ballpark and, you know, watch us pillage. Mm-hmm.
Johnny might be looking for work by that point, too.
Johnny needs the money.
Yeah.
Johnny needs the money. There is no question. I think it'll work.
So, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I mean, is this just middle of the summer talk or, you know, the idea that Philip Rivers could be out there on the market at some point? Is that legit?
I think it probably never will happen. But I think, and that's because, you know, I think it's more that you're afraid of the unknown, but come on, a bolo wearing, cowboy hat having, Wrangler jean, toting, cowboy boots with spurs, jingling. I don't think that really necessarily markets well in LA. So, I don't think it'll happen. I think they'll stick with their franchise quarterback. But boy, I tell you what, when I first heard Dion mention it, I was like, oh, that's Dion. That's just hyperbole, blowhard, you know, middle of summer talk. But when you kind of dig down and look beyond the surface, it actually would make great sense. And there's probably part of me that's desirous of it happening, because I want to see the Broncos have a chance to win a championship again. Because I'm a Broncos fan.
Hey, I don't know. I think there's so many things happening in the NBA right now, things that are happening that you're like, I never thought that would happen. And look at it, it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I could see how that kind of thinking might filter down into the NFL. Look, the Jets aren't making any secret about it. They're in full tank mode.
Right.
And they're not hiding that. And, hey, Joe Montana finished somewhere else. Brett Favre finished somewhere else. You and I have talked on this podcast about Tom Brady
finishing somewhere else after a couple more years.
Right? Yeah. So, hey, speaking of Brady, speaking of Uggs.
Uggs.
Speaking of the guy you call the world's greatest American.
Mm-hmm.
Or America's greatest American. He's releasing a book.
Ugh.
It's called The TB12 Method, How to Achieve a Lifetime of Sustained Peak Performance. The, quote, oversized, heavily illustrated, revealing yet deeply practical book will focus on the approaches to training, nutrition, and overall well-being that Brady has developed over the years. Mark Schlereth, will you be first in line to buy a book?
Do I get an autographed copy? Would Uggs be there signing books? Gosh, that would be exciting. I would love that. I would love it!
My first thought is that, you know, come on. Until I realize and remember that he released a cookbook that sold well despite going for $200 per.
He was kind of Lonzo Ball or LeVar Ball before LeVar Ball was LeVar Ball. Selling a $200 cookbook? How much different is that than selling $495 tennis shoes?
That's true. Although one comes from a guy who hasn't, what's the line you like to use?
Hasn't put a squirt of piss in the bucket, and one dude has filled it up six times, seven times over.
Right.
It's a lot of urine.
But I what?
If you think about it. Just a lot of urine.
But you know what? You and I were talking the other week about, right here on the podcast, about the possibility, are the Patriots going for it in the next couple of years because they might be prepared to move on from Brady? What about the idea that despite Brady saying he wants to play in his mid-40s, that maybe he's dropping hints that he's actually planning for life after football here in the next couple of years? He's doing a lot of marketing.
He is.
That you wouldn't normally think of with Tom Brady. The book. He was over in Asia doing a big tour recently.
With Under Armour.
With Under Armour.
Yeah, you're right.
Is it, you know, he's recently got new deals with, Aston Martin?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Is there another way of looking at this, that maybe Brady is himself?
I think the thing about Brady is, I think he's been very calculated over the course of his career. And I think you see the opportunity to be Peyton Manning-esque in that you become kind of almost a national marketing treasure even when you're done. I mean, Peyton Manning, when people keep saying, hey, Peyton Manning, is he going to be a GM? Is he going to be... Peyton Manning can make, I mean, tons, deep seven figures just being Peyton Manning. Hey, just be Peyton Manning. I mean, he's hosting the ESPYs this year. I mean, it just is good for him. But I think Brady has continued, even though he doesn't seem to be as accessible as Peyton has been, he has done a really good job of managing his career and doing it the right way, managing it the correct way, where it never seems to overlap or become something that overshadows his football career. Like it's all, he's been able to compartmentalize. It's all business when he's on the football field. It's all business when the season rolls around, you know? And that to me is there's a talent there. I start to think about the book though. I mean, obviously he's got a huge fan base. People are going to buy the book.
You ever thought about writing a book? You got a big following.
Yeah, not like...
What would a Mark Schlereth book?
It would be more of a pamphlet, you know? Just a little thin kind of stinkisms, right?
Stinkisms.
Yeah, just some stinkisms. And it'd be like a little... It'd be like... You know, I do this YouTube channel, my Man 101 channel. It'd be like man things, you know? Like just different... Right.
Just stinkisms.
Yeah, like... How to develop a petri in your yard, a place to take a leak without having to go back inside when you're doing yard work.
You know, you also talk about ish a lot. Like, you know.
There's
nothing you can't talk about or cover in the world without just adding an ish to it.
Right.
And it gives you a certain amount of
leeway to be right. So you can always be kind of right. Yeah, I told you.
How about, you know, Mark Schlereth, the book of ish.
The ish.
Kind of zen-like.
You know, remember that book that had all that, The Secret of Ish. And
right?
Just totally copy the book, and people were like, oh, a second copy of The Secret,
right?
Ish.
Yeah, kind of like a Book of Tao type thing, you know?
Exactly.
Ooh.
Yes.
The Book of Ish.
The Book of Ish.
By Mark Schlereth.
Right.
Pick up your pamphlet near
Pick
you.
Up your pamphlet. At a 7-Eleven near you.
Go for significantly less than Tom Brady's $200 per book. Right, exactly. Hey, I know you, we loved looking at, you mentioned it, LeVar Ball, Lonzo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe LeVar Ball, a shining example of not how to do it, but how about Keyshawn Johnson?
Oh my gosh.
Wait until you get to this story. Whoever would have thought Keyshawn Johnson, who was once throw me the damn ball, now shaping up as a father of the year. We'll tell you about that coming up here in just a sec.
Hey, it's Shaq. And when the NBA offseason explodes like it just did, you know we're all over it on The Big Podcast with Shaq. All summer, we're bringing you the biggest guests from the NBA, the biggest stars in Hollywood, and tons of great laughs. We're way bigger than a sports podcast. So check us out this week, The Big Podcast with Shaq, with new episodes every Monday at podcastone.com.
So, Stank, did you see this bit about Keyshawn Johnson, who you got to know well at ESPN?
Right.
So his son... Keyshawn Johnson Jr. now said he's taking time away from the Nebraska football program in the wake of a a citation that he received for possession of marijuana. Well, sounds like Keyshawn Sr. made the decision for Junior. This is quoting Keyshawn Johnson Sr. Quote, "One thing you will not do as my son is you will not embarrass Nebraska, you will not embarrass Mike Riley, and you will not embarrass this family. If you mature and you're ready to resume your football career and academic goals, then Nebraska will be ready to embrace you." And he went on to say, "I never asked him," said Keyshawn Sr. "At the end of the day, I don't think that decision was in his hands. He squandered that decision. He still wants to play football, and he still wants to play for Nebraska. But if you don't do the things you're supposed to do under the guidelines of me, it's not going to happen."
I love it. You talk about parenting, man. You talk about, that's parenting right there. Let's not make excuses for our kids. And, oh, they just made a mistake. No, hold them accountable. You're going to make adult decisions in the adult kind of quote-unquote world. You're going to have adult consequences. I love that. I love the way Junior kind of put his spin on it. "Hey, you know, I'm going to take a leave of absence here and, you know, get my faculties together." No, Dad comes out and says, "Baloney, right? You're not embarrassing our family or the University of Nebraska or head coach Mike Riley. Like, I'm suspending your butt. I am." We always talk about this. My dad always says it. You know, so many people know their rights. Very few know their responsibilities. That's a responsibility thing. Take responsibility for your life. You are where you are because of the decisions you made, whether good decisions or bad decisions. Just own them. Own them. I you know what? I absolutely love it. Good for Keyshawn Johnson. I think it's a cool thing. I tell you, it just popped into my head. One of the great stories, one of the great all-time stories for me with just raising kids. So, as you know, my son Daniel, still, you know, a professional baseball player, and he is cutting people up, bouncing between AA and AAA right now, and I'm just prayerfully, I just am in prayer that he gets another opportunity. You know, he's worked so hard, and he's completely changed his mechanics, and, you know, he's reinvented himself, and like I said, he is just cutting people up, and so proud of the work he's done, because it has been a grind, an absolute grind since injury to kind of reinvent himself. But I go back to, you know, to coaching him all those years as a kid, and my son was one of those guys, one of those kids that was so flipping talented, Mike, that, you know, he could Cadillac around the baseball field and be way better than anybody else, way better. And so when you go from like Little League, like your kid plays Little League right now, right? Brady plays Little League right now. There's a huge step when you get to be 12 years old where you go from the rubber bottom cleats to the spikes. And the kids love the spikes because when they walk through the parking lot, they click. Clickety click, click, click. You got the metal spikes on, and it's huge. And back then, I was a Reebok athlete. And every year, Reebok would send a catalog. And so you had a certain amount of money, and you got stuff at cost. So the money went forever, right? And they'd send a catalog every year. And then ultimately, as a Reebok athlete, you know, I'd be ordering boatloads of shoes and stuff for Christmas gifts. Like all your family get Reebok shoes and sweats and, you know, jackets and all kinds of stuff, right? It was great. The calendar would come out about, I don't know, you know, springtime, early spring, and everybody be gathered around and you're like literally buying Christmas presents for December, right? You know, so it was awesome. So anyhow, my son played for this team called the Silver Falcons here in Colorado, and they had Air Force University of or Air Force Academy. Air Force Academy. Yep. They had the old uniforms, and so silver with kind of royal blue piping and the silver letters and the white uniforms. So we're rolling through the catalog, and it's his first year where he gets to have spikes, right? The metal cleats. And so here's Daniel looking at these metal cleats, and he says to me, Dad, there's a royal blue pair of these metal spikes. He's like, can I get these? They match perfectly our uniforms, right?
And so me being the parent, I'm like, hey, listen, I'll get these for you, but there's one thing that I'm going to require, because you'll be the only kid in the league or on our team that has these special Reebok cleats that match the uniform. Everybody else will have the, you know, the black cleats that you're going to get from Dick's Sporting Goods or whatever. So I was just like, no Cadillacing allowed, man. You're going to have to be focused. This is, you know, you can focus. You're going to have to play your butt off, and you're always going to have to be, you know, on point. And so I'll get them for you, but you gotta make that guarantee to me. So Daniel's, oh yeah, Dad, yeah, no problem, no problem. So we order the cleats, right? So we're in this game, you know, it's we're in the middle of summer, you know, and it's hot.
And you're coaching him.
And I'm coaching him. And he's out in the outfield and he's playing center field for us, you know, and he isn't paying attention. You know how kids are, right? They're looking for four-leaf clovers, not paying attention. All of a sudden, bam, ball gets hit in the outfield. Now, all of a sudden, he's like, oh, shoot, where's the ball, right? Completely misplays it. Lands for a double, right? Goes over his head or whatever. And I am fuming. Just fuming. So, the game is over. Like, I chewed him out in the dugout. The game is over. I clean out the dugout, and he's in his mother's car. The passenger seat. I go up, I tap on the window as they get my truck right now. Get in my truck. And he's looking at his mom like, no, Dad, it's so mean. You know,
Dad. And of course, this is you, 300 pounds.
Right. Off season, yoked up. And I'm like, get in the truck, boy, right now, in the truck. And his mom's looking at me like, no. I go, no, in the truck. So we have a very stern conversation in the truck, and I said, you know, you made me this promise that you weren't going, you know, that you were going to play hard and you were going to pay attention, and you didn't do it today, so I'm banning you from your shoes. We got another game. I think that was like a Friday night. We had a game Saturday, and I go, you're going to have to go back to your rubber cleats, last year's shoes. You want to talk about embarrassing, right? You got to wear, and he's a left-handed pitcher, so the toe of his left foot is all worn out, you know, and he's not clickety clacking anymore. He's rubber cleating it, you know, and it was an embarrassing thing for him. But I said, this is the promise you made me. You didn't fulfill your end of the bargain. You're not going to wear these special cleats. That's it. Done. So I made him play in the old rubber bottomed black cleats with the holes in the toes the next game. Suspended him from his shoes for the weekend. So fast forward to the preseason. We kick off the preseason. We're playing the Buffalo Bills. And the thing about football is there are so many limited games, you get punished for losing. So if you win a preseason game, the next day you get to come in, you get a lift, you watch the film by yourself. You don't have to meet, and you don't have to do any team activities. You just lift, watch the film, get out. It's like having an extra day off. Lose, and what happens to you? You got to come in, you got to lift as a team, then you got to sit through the film as a team, then you put in an installation thing, then you have to go out and do a small practice as a team, and you got to run as a team. It eats up your whole day, right? You're getting punished for losing a preseason game. That's how it works. So we're playing, we open up with the Buffalo Bills, and as a starting offense, we run down, I think we score on our first two possessions. Bam, bam. Bang, take your shoulder pads off, done. Job well done. Got a lead, played really well. Well, all the backups come in, squander the lead, and we end up losing to the Buffalo Bills in this preseason game. And now I'm irritated, right? Because I know tomorrow I got to spend the whole day over at the facility where I could have had the day off. So I'm irritated, just completely irritated. So I walk in, I change, I come out, there's my family. I'm like, let's go. So we roll through, you know, I don't want to sign any autographs. I had this conversion van. And we're all, like, not a word is said. My wife knows I'm pissed. My wife knows I got to be over at the facility the whole day tomorrow. The kids, nobody's saying anything. Jump in the conversion van. Get on I-25 here in Colorado. We're heading south to the house, right? Not a word is being said, right? Everybody knows I'm upset. Everybody knows I'm angry. Dead silence. In the car for about 15 minutes. All of a sudden, my son pipes up. He's 12 years old. Hey, Dad,
I said, yes. He goes, I'm going to need your shoes. The whole car just bust out in laughter, right? Bust out in laughter. Like, he wanted to suspend me from my shoes. You hot snot, you. You little hot snot.
Wow. Sounds like when you were a player, you created quite the reign of terror in the Schlereth household. Jeez.
No.
Everyone walking on eggshells around dear old dad.
Yeah.
That just doesn't jive with the... Personable teddy bear Mark Schlereth we all hear now.
Yeah, for the most part, I was a teddy bear, but there's certain things that really irritated me, you know? And one of the big things, and again, goes back to parenting, you know, like, I don't care if you suck. I don't care if you're not good. But you damn well, there's one, you can control the effort you give. There's two things you can control, your attitude and your effort. Other than that, take any walk of life. Other than attitude and effort, what do you really have control over? Not much. But you can always control the way you approach your job, the way you approach other people, the attitude that you have on a daily basis. I wake up every morning and I think, you know what? I'm going to make it a great day today. Because ultimately, I'm in control of the way I react to things. And then I can always give great effort. You don't have to have any talent at all to give great effort. And so my big thing was, you are blessed with a ton of talent. And the fact that you just rely on talent, that's what makes this transition for my son so special to me, is that the arm talent, you know, was diminished because of injury. Now it's the work. Now it's the effort. Now it's the attitude that's gotten you back to being on the cusp of something great. What a great story, you know? And so for Keyshawn Johnson, man, I applaud you. Parent.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Speaking of approach, it's funny you use that word, because a headline grabbed my attention from Brian Urlacher saying that the Bears' approach at quarterback is, in his words, confusing. He said, I don't know what the identity of the team is right now. They sign Glennon, then they draft a kid number two. I don't know. It's confusing. Get in line, right?
Right.
I mean, you look at the Bears, what is the plan?
Right. I have no idea. You know, the plan is potential. You know what potential usually gets you? Fired. Potential usually gets you fired. And what is Mitchell Trubisky? What did he start, 13 games in his career at North Carolina? And yeah, he's a strapping dude. You know, he's a big dude. He's a good athlete. He's got a good arm, all those kind of things. That's all great, man. That is all great. I don't know that it will translate. I don't know that it won't. But when you go spend money on Mike Glennon as a free agent quarterback, thinking that that might be the answer to your quarterback issues, and then all of a sudden you're like midstream, wait, we have another idea. I mean, it just does. It reeks of desperation. We're not sure what we're doing. Does it not?
I don't know. I look at it differently, because when you're trying to figure things out at the most important position in all of sports, I'd like to have options. And okay, maybe the clear-cut identity of your future quarterback is muddled right now, but won't that take care of itself just through good old-fashioned competition? Won't a confusing situation become less confusing once you get out there and these two start competing? And hopefully you have two really good quarterbacks and you're in a good situation if you're the Chicago Bears.
Right. Well, what if, you know, I guess, what if Mike Glennon is so far ahead of Mitchell Trubisky, which I would assume he is, and one of two things is going to happen. He completely outperforms Mitchell Trubisky, and then everybody says, why the hell did you draft that guy? We could have, at number two, I mean, if we were going to move up to number, now they moved up for him, but even in that top five or six, if somebody, you know, there's going to be some players that you could have gotten that are going to be superstars at that position that could actually help your team today
And you're going to be like, and what did we do? We jumped up to number two and got a guy who can't play or can't beat out Mike Glennon, the world's longest neck. You know, that guy should be in a circus, shouldn't he? Come on in. Come on in. See the man with the world's longest neck, Giraffe Boy. Come see Giraffe Boy. Have you ever looked at that dude?
Giraffe Man.
It's freakish.
They got a goat boy on SNL.
Yeah.
Well, but come on. The move to Glennon in the first place was sort of a Hail Mary anyway, right? Because what has Mike Glennon been the last couple of years? Oh, hey, there's this guy down in Tampa that...
Everybody,
you know,
seems to love him, though, Mike. Everybody seems to love him. Everybody thinks that he could be, like, something.
But it is still, you're kind of just taking a gamble. You're like, hey, we don't have any other options right now with quarterback, so let's take a shot at Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
See if all this perceived hype out there fits. But you can't be so convinced that you got the right guy in Mike Glennon that you... back off trying to make a move like this for Trubisky if you think Trubisky's a guy.
I just feel like the Bears are the NFC equivalent of the Jets. Just cornering the market on backup quarterbacks. I mean, we never really have one, but we got four to choose from. None of them are worth a crap, but we got four of them. I feel like the Bears have become kind of that. It's kind of sad.
See, I think it's more like the right here in Denver with the Broncos. Glennon, albeit, you know, paid really well, is your Trevor Siemian. Trubisky, although going a lot higher in the first round than Lynch did, is sort of Paxton Lynch. And then it comes right back down to the same argument that you always push for. I'm kind of using your words against you. You say, look, once you get out there on the field, I don't care who was drafted where, you're not entitled to jack. You got to go earn it.
But that's what I'm saying about the Chicago Bears. Like, when you have so many other positions of need to fill, and you went out and filled one need at quarterback in free agency, and then all of a sudden, it almost looks like a panic move that all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, maybe he's not the guy. And now we're going to go after another guy. And I've always said this about football in general. When you don't draft well, and you consistently draft a position that consistently fails, right? So year after year, you chase a position. Your positions of strength on your football team get neglected because you're constantly chasing that one position. And then you know what happens to those positions of strength? You don't have good backups, right? You haven't addressed those positions, and all of a sudden guys get old. They retire. They get injured. And that position of strength becomes a position of weakness. And now you have what was a strength is a weakness. And the thing you've been chasing this whole time is a weakness. And your team sucks. That's what happens to teams that draft poorly. And it's what teams that don't develop players. That's what happens to them. And that's where the Chicago Bears are right now. I agree with Brian Urlacher. Now, it may, like you said, it may pan out to be a good thing ultimately. But I'm telling you, it's kind of a crazy situation. It's a crazy, and that's what happens in this league. You're always chasing that quarterback position.
Did you really call Mike Glennon Giraffe Boy?
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
He's got a long neck.
I'm never going to be able to look at him any way now without just staring at the neck.
I'm telling you what.
Is it that? I never thought of it. Is it that?
Go to your Google machine and just Google Mike Glennon. Go ahead.
What's more like jump off the page, jump off the TV screen at you? Mike Glennon's neck or Peyton Manning's forehead?
It's a good question. Like, you don't notice Peyton Manning's forehead until he takes the helmet off on the sideline.
Correct.
But Mike Glennon, there's no getting around that neck.
It's there.
Oh, it's out there.
It's a long neck. I'm looking at pictures right now. That's a long neck. Look at that. That is giraffe-like.
Look at him. Holy Stretch Armstrong. Lord have mercy. Go ahead. By the way, did you hear?
So Peyton Manning's going to have a statue.
Yes.
Unveiled.
I heard that.
In Indianapolis, right?
Yeah.
If you're Peyton, come on, because you know how these things work. You're going to have input into
what the statue looks like, right?
Correct.
Do you think he like kind of walks over to the sculptor or whomever and just says, "Hey, can you make the head a little smaller?
Right? Can you shorten down the head?
You know, make the five head into a more of a forehead."
I think if you're a sculptor, though, you're like, "Hey, listen, man. You know what? This is my work. This is my life's work, and
artistic integrity.
Yeah, I can't do that. I can't go that route.
So big head it is.
Yeah, just go ahead and listen. This is a reflection of me. And if I gave you a smaller forehead, what would it say about my integrity?
So the head has to be done to scale.
To scale.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, we've got a question.
Make sure you bolt it down so it doesn't roll over in the wind.
Question mark coming up right after this word from TrueCar.
Hey, when you're looking to buy a car, you want to make sure that you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. Unfortunately, a lot of times this just isn't the case. People configure cars online only later to find out they're not available. With TrueCar, you get real pricing on actual inventory. This is not pricing offered by TrueCar, but pricing offered from the actual dealer. And not just any dealer, but a TrueCar certified dealer. This is a carefully curated network of dealers committed to transparency and offering you a competitive market price. Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. Next, TrueCar will show you what other people in your area have paid for the same car you're looking for. Now, you know what a fair price is, so you can feel confident. Over 3 million cars have been sold to TrueCar users by using the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. There are over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. You will work directly with a TrueCar certified dealer contact. TrueCar users are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when connected with a TrueCar certified dealer. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off the MSRP. So, do yourself a favor. When you're ready to buy a car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. It's that easy. Some features not available in all states. That's TrueCar.
All right, Mark, time now for question mark, where mm-hmm. you answer the questions from the folks out there for a chance to win a cool t-shirt.
All right.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Some fans of different teams weighing in. They'd like some predictions. This is from Ron. He asks, record prediction for my 49ers this year.
49ers. I think they're going the right direction. I think they got the right GM. I think they've got the right head coach. I think they'll put them in positions to have some success. I still think from just a pure talent standpoint, they need to amass more talent. But I'm going to say the Niners win 4 or 5 games, somewhere in there. They make an improvement. I don't know what they won last year. I don't remember. But I got to think it's 2 or 3 games they won last year. So I'm going to say 4 or 5 games the Niners win. I think they're going the right direction. I like the additions, the coaching staff, and the general manager that they made. So I'm going to go 4 or 5 wins.
All right. Another one. This is from Chip.
Chip.
Chip. Chip used to be a great name. Does Chip still wear today? I mean, you got Chip Kelly.
Right.
But does Chip still fit today?
Chip. Is it short for anything or is it just Chip?
No, he's just Chip.
It's not like short for Chipstifer or something like that?
No. Pretty confident that that's pretty confident that's not the case.
Huh. All right. Chip. I don't know. That's like Jimmy. It's like being called Jimmy.
Can't trust anybody called Jimmy?
No. Eventually, you grow out of Jimmy. Like, Chip is like the kid version of Chipstifer. Like,
Chip is even younger sounding than Jimmy, isn't it?
Yeah, Chip is Chip. I don't even know where that name comes from. Like, I understand John, you know, Paul, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke.
Very biblical.
Yeah.
I don't think there are any Chips in the Bible, are there?
No. Chip was...
Behold, it is Chip.
Yes. Now, Chip, they didn't mention Chip in the Bible because he was the dude at Galilee selling weed on the corner. Right? Okay, am I right?
Okay, Chip is actually short for either Charles or Christopher. It's a common nickname for Charles or Christopher.
Huh.
Okay, so eventually you got to stop being called Chip and you got to go to Christopher
or Chris.
Or Chris or
Chuck or
Charles.
Charles, yeah. Don't be Charlie. Can't be a Charlie.
No, you can't. Not in that sense. No.
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 Why?
Tiger blood.
Yeah. Come on. Duh. Okay, Chip asked the question.
Okay.
Mark, I don't see the Dolphins being close to a championship this year. Is their best quarterback in the league yet?
The Dolphins?
Yes. Doesn't seem to be a Ryan Tannehill fan.
Yeah, no, I think Tannehill's got a chance to be really good, especially under the tutelage of Adam Gase, their head coach. Now, do I think they're gonna surpass the New England Patriots anytime in that division? No. But are they the second best team in that division? Yes. And do they have a chance to be a playoff team again? Were they last year, or did they miss the playoffs last year?
They made the playoffs.
I don't even remember them playing in the playoffs. Anyhow, but the bottom line is, yes, they've got an opportunity. They've got an opportunity, I think,
to Pittsburgh.
That's right, to Pittsburgh. That is correct. Yes, so I think they went 9-7, as I remember, and then lost in the first round of Pittsburgh. But here's the bottom line for them: they're going in the right direction, and I think they've got the guy in charge in Adam Gase that's going to help take them in that direction. I think Ryan Tannehill has the potential to be an upper echelon, maybe not that top five or six category that we look at, but the next realm of those 10 guys that are in there with the Eli Mannings and the Joe Flaccos. And I think he's in that range. I think he's right approaching that range right now.
We go from a Chip to a Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Bob wants to know, who is going to be the starting quarterback in Cleveland week one?
Wow.
Hugh Jackson's been saying a lot of nice things about Brock Osweiler.
I know. I think it's probably going to be Brock.
I think it'll be Brock. DeShone Kizer?
A lot of people like Kizer. They like him coming out. They still think he's got a lot of, kind of growing up NFL language type of understanding, but certainly like his skill set. He was the guy that said, didn't he say he had the body of Cam Newton and the brain of Tom Brady? Right there alone, he'd have to sit on the bench for at least a year just for that statement if I was coaching. I think Brock's got a chance to be the starter day one there.
Okay, interesting. This is from King. He asks, can the Vikings win the North this year with all of their offseason additions?
Who plays quarterback for the Vikings? Saucer Eyes?
Because you have a rule.
Mm-hmm.
Right? First time you hear something, you give credit to the person who said it.
Right.
Second time,
I say some guy I knew said this.
Third time,
I just take it.
Okay. Can you throw me a bone here? Okay. Sam Bradford, whole bit about the hyper alert eyes.
Hyper alert eyes.
Where'd you get that from?
That was from you.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, I did.
He does have hyper alert eyes.
Hyper alert eyes is yours.
And those are like dinner
plates.
He
is the Marty Feldman.
Yes.
Of the NFL.
That's right.
Abby
Normal.
Right. I do know. Can they win that division with their offseason acquisitions? Not if they don't have a quarterback that I think can, he's going to complete 70% of his passes. They're all going to be about 3-yard throws. Is their offensive line improved? I know they have a pretty stellar defense. Is their offensive line improved? Are they going to be able to overcome the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers, and what they've got going on over there? No, they're not winning that division.
Another one from Michael. He asked, Mark, what do the Raiders need in order to win the Super Bowl?
The Raiders, very much like the Tin Man, need a heart.
They didn't show to you that last year that they have a heart? They won, they didn't win the division, but they won 12 games.
I was really disappointed in the Raiders when the Raiders lost their starting quarterback and rolled over and whimpered. And I understand, man, It is hard to win with a backup quarterback in this league. But what I saw from them concerned me. You know, it's always one thing to deal with adversity. It's another thing to, you know, to deal with success. They had success all season long. Adversity rolled in their in the way of an injured quarterback, and man, they just, I mean, they threw the white flag. Like, I really like Derek Carr. I like what he has done for the culture of that organization. Defensively, they've got to get better on the defensive side of the ball. There's no question. How do they deal with the success they had last year? That's my big question for them. How do they deal with that? Because I think they're going in the right direction. And I think Derek Carr, like I said, I think he single-handedly changed kind of the culture of that organization. And I think that's a good thing. But I want to see how they deal with that success they had last year. And I want to see what they do defensively. What's different for them defensively?
A lot of good questions here with Question Mark this week. Here's one from Dalen. As an O-lineman, Mark, what did you want from your quarterback more, escapability or quick release?
I want him to get rid of the ball. I don't want him moving. I want him to get rid of the ball, quick release, go to the right guy, don't hold on to it, and you know, lead us down the football field that way. Escapability, yeah. Like, manipulating the pocket, that's important to me. Being able to slide around in the pocket a little bit, but being able to run around, that to me is not what wins in the NFL.
Last one from Jonathan. Mark, have you washed those nasty yard clothes yet?
No, those things aren't going to get – those things – I think I'm going to do this fall when it's yard season is done. I think I'm just going to burn them. just like you know.
Tell the story to people who don't know it. You have a – set of yard clothes.
Right, I have a pair of shorts and a t-shirt that every time I go do yard work, and I mow my lawn at least 2 times a week, sometimes 3 times a week, and then I do, you know, all my own landscaping stuff. And so whether it's planting trees or redoing the garden, or I'll be spreading mulch all weekend, I wear the same outfit. And it's been hanging in my garage. This is the third season. It's hung in my garage without being washed. And it is delightful. I mean, if you dumped that shirt in some hot water, you'd make man tea.
Oh.
Just straight man tea.
That is disgusting.
Mm.
Oh.
Man tea by Schlereth.
Yes. Tastes delicious.
All right, let's give it to a long-suffering, sounds like, Cleveland Browns fan. Bob Kimble asked the question about the starting quarterback in Cleveland this week.
Bob, I am going to send you a T-shirt courtesy of Clubhouse Gear. You can find it at clubhousegear.com. I'm sending a T-shirt your way. Thank you for being part of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Mike, for Scott, for you, for me, thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back with you next week right here on The Stinkin' Truth.
Thanks for hanging with The Stinkin' Truth. Don't forget to download new episodes every Wednesday on iTunes and at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.